Go. Hello and welcome to Writer Mother Monster. I'm Lara Ehrlich, and I'm excited to host a special episode this evening about creating community around motherhood and writing with my guests, the co-founders of Scribente Maternum. So before I introduce tonight's panelists, I want to thank you all for tuning in and letting you know that you can now listen to Writer Mother and Monster as a podcast on all major audio platforms or read the interview transcripts at your leisure, all on writermothermonster.com. If you enjoy the episode, please consider becoming a Writer Mother Monster patron or patroness on Patreon. Your support helps make this series possible. Please also chat with us during the interview. Your comments and questions will appear in our broadcast studio, and we'll weave them into our conversation. Now I'm excited to introduce tonight's panelists, the founders of Scribente Maternum. Scribente Maternum is a community of writers that explores our emotions as mothers, provides space to recharge, facilitates connections with other writers, and inspires personal and collective action. The organization is hosting its first retreat for writer moms this February. You can learn more at scribentematernum.com, and we'll put that website up in a moment. But first, welcome Elizabeth, Rachel, Katie, and Carla. Just give me a second to add you all to the stream here. There we go. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. And first, I'd love to just go around in the order that we see you here on screen. Next is Carla. And just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. All bios will be available on writermothermonster.com in depth. So if you want to know more about tonight's panels, you can look there. They're up right now. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about your children and, in some cases, grandchildren.
Yes, my name is Carla Dupre. I'm the executive director of City Lit Project, a small literary nonprofit in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a fiction writer, but I heavily support writers of all kinds. I have three children, mostly adult children, who have all returned home in this pandemic. I have a 29-year-old daughter and twin boys, who are 26 years old, and a 6-year-old grandson who is very, very active in my home with a virtual kindergarten.
Thank you, Carla. Rachel.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. My name is Rachel. I am also a writer professionally. I write a lot of history and English textbooks. I also write materials that teachers use for classroom use, lesson plans, that sort of thing. And I also help other writers get their projects finished. I also have a boy and a girl. My son is 8 and my daughter is 6. So we're also in the midst of distance learning kindergarten, and it is, it's entertaining. It makes me very glad that I taught high school and not elementary school.
Thank you, Rachel. Elizabeth.
I'm Elizabeth Dorr. I am also a professional writer. I, do mostly work with freelance work with organizations and brands that need kind of regular communications, but I also have a background in journalism and in creative writing, and that's, you know, wish I had more time to do that kind of stuff, but as we're probably going to be talking about today, and I have one son who's 3.5, and so we are luckily not in the homeschooling nightmare, which is really freeing in some sense. Still, 3.5 is an age.
Mm-hmm. And Katie.
Okay, I'm Katie Poland-LeClaire. I am the founder of a couple different businesses. The Better, Smarter, Stronger is the one that's one of the sponsors for Scribente. And that's basically an organization that is built around reminding women that they are the experts of their own lives. I am a mom of 4. I have a daughter who's 30. I have a son who's 28, another son who's 17, and my youngest son is 15, and I'm also a grandmother. I have a grandson who just turned 5 months today.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to have you all here. The work that you're doing is so vital and necessary, as we'll talk about, and you all individually are such inspirations. So thank you again for joining us. And of course, we'll get into the generalizations, the discussion about community and writer motherhood. But first, tell us a little bit about Scribente Maternum. What is it?
So Scribente Maternum is really a community of writer moms. We are hosting our first event in February, but our events are just one element of what we do. We are really striving to create a community and a network and resources that give moms who are also writers a place where they can share their unique, this awesome tension that exists between being the on-call parent and a creative professional. We realized when we were looking for something like this community that it just didn't exist. Everyone was either complaining about having children and how they could never write, or talking about mostly maybe not moms about how life just churned along as usual and it was no problem. But we found this really unique sort of dichotomy of being both inspired by and distracted by our children. And living with that balance and finding the time to still be creative and be moms is why we're here with Scribente Maternum.
Yeah, that's really inspiring to hear. And it's something I've heard from a lot of the mother writers that I've had on the show, that the dual challenge and yet joy and inspiration of having children, of that role. And so I think often when we think about writer motherhood, we think about the challenges, right? About how hard it is to find the time or to prioritize our craft when we're torn in so many different directions. But the joy is something that has surprised me, actually, about talking with so many mothers, is that that is a really vital part of writer motherhood. And Elizabeth, before the interview, you and I were talking about the impetus for Scribente Maternum and some of the inspiration behind it. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about your experience at one of the writers' conferences?
Yeah, sure. So the nuggets of inspiration for this really started at the AWP conference in Portland a couple years ago in 2018. I met Rachel there, and Rachel met Carla there. It's kind of this beautiful amalgamation of inspiration around motherhood and writerhood and all of that. And so Rachel was a panelist on a women's writers panel, and so she and I connected and became friends with that and really bonded over that tension that she talked about earlier about, you know, the challenges between motherhood and writerhood. And so our friendship grew from that. And then so she connected with Carla as well, and we actually had proposed a panel for, oh gosh, was that a year? For the last year's AWP, it never got accepted, but it really was kind of the nuggets of that. And then at that same conference, and Laura, it's so funny because I think you and I were at the same, like, in the audience of the same panel. I don't know, maybe Carla, you were there as well. There was a panel on parent writers and their challenges, and it was mostly a panel of dads and one mother, I think. And I just came out of that more frustrated than anything, because it just did not feel true to what my experience was, because I feel like and it's not just writing, it's anything. I feel that constant guilt of like just taking time for myself and getting away to be by myself, and I, you know, have that weight. And you know, I think Carla and Katie can speak to this more when they have older kids too, but I feel like I've talked to some other mothers whose kids have also grown, and there's still this kind of like weight that mothers carry, this invisible weight. And so I just personally really resonated with that. And so I don't know, having this kind of conversation that started at that AWP, Rachel and I were just having a conversation about, I don't know what we were talking about, like last spring about this, and somehow a writer's retreat for mothers came up, and it just snowballed from there. And she, and we connected with Carla because that also, that was, that connection was also there. And then Katie, brings a lot of the event management, and she was the one that really inspired us to do this now in COVID virtually, which in some ways is, works really, like now that we're in it, it's like, this is actually kind of perfect because it's both the hardest, it's the worst and the best time to do it. but like we all need that time for ourselves in a way that, we maybe didn't know before or really didn't feel to the degree that we do now. And so, it proved to be an opportunity to do it at this period of time. And also just doing it virtually is really great because, it's not as intense. We can have more, involve more people than we would for an in-person retreat. It can be less expensive. It can be, you know, so it's just more accessible. And so we're hoping that kind of creates a really strong community of writer moms. So that's kind of where it started and how it's going.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think you're right. This is a perfect time to do it. I know I need a retreat and it's not quite possible to travel anywhere right now, right? So this is the perfect time to do it and the perfect way to do it. So a little later in the show, we'll get to who the guest speakers are and all the details of the retreat and the dates and so on. Just for anyone joining us now, I'm going to put the Scribente Maternum website back up for a few minutes while we're talking. But yes, Elizabeth, I was at that panel at AWP and it was my experience as well. I came excited. I devoted like a certain number of pages of my notebook that I was going to take some notes and come away with all of these great, inspiring, tips and actions. And I really didn't take much of anything away from it. I think because it was a panel mostly of men, and fathers' experiences are very different from mothers' experiences as writers. So let's talk about that a little bit. And it is particularly relevant for this show since this is a show for writer moms, not for writer parents. So what is, in your experience, all of you, specific about writer motherhood rather than writer parenthood? We're both parents and mothers, so we can talk, we can speak to both, I think.
Well, I can start off.
Yeah, please.
I don't think you ever turn off either one. You're always a mother and you're always a writer. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not actually doing the act of writing, when you're with your children, you're always thinking about, you know, their different personalities, how they show up in the world, how they announce themselves. I think it's very hard to separate the two. I know, one of my favorite quotes is my mom used to say, when children are young, they're around your feet. And as they grow older, they're around your heart. Mm-hmm. I think the wonderful thing is this retreat, we all know in the pandemic, women are being put upon. They're at home with their children. They're doing a good part of the homeschooling with the kids while still maintaining their jobs. That's a lot. I read something, I think it was on your site, Laura, that said that women are pushed back years from, you know, the workplace because many of them have quit their jobs or had, or lost their jobs. And this is a space where we want to hold them. We want them, people, women to embrace their motherhood and embrace the writer in them.
Yeah. Thank you, Carla.
City Lit Project has always supported writers at every stage of their journey. And when Elizabeth and Rachel brought this concept to me, I kept thinking, like, well, why not? Why not try to figure out how to support mothers in this crazy time when you're trying to adjust a lot of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't mean to generalize because, of course, not mothers are not a monolith, and neither are fathers, neither are parents. But something I've heard from a lot of guests is that feeling of once we have children, an understanding of a new depth of emotion and a new depth of sometimes violent emotion in the sense that we become, as one guest said, like a mama bear, you know, ready to inflict violence on anyone who would hurt our child. I know I felt that very strongly from the moment my daughter was born, and I would take her, say, to a friend's house, and a friend might take her and want to hold her. And the physical the physical anxiety I had when someone else was holding my child was something I had never experienced. And it's something that my husband didn't share with me. He said, I didn't really, it was fine when she held the baby. It didn't really bother me. So that I think is on a really primal level, a difference between, you know, a mother and a father. And that when you're writing, you still maintain, as you said, Carla, that sort of primal connection with your child. So it's hard to, code shift in that way. What about, Kate, we haven't heard from you yet. Can you tell us a little bit about, your experience as a mother writer and what makes it unique, different than, say, a parent writer?
Mm-hmm. And most of my writing, I'll just start out and full confession, I'm not a professional writer, although I have to do writing for the work that I do, whether it's blog posts or marketing mm-hmm. pieces or things like that. And
that's writing, Katie. That's writing. That's
writing. Yeah.
So, you are a writer. That's a female thing, right? Making excuses. But what I've found is that it's not, I mean, you know, they talk about balance. It's not ever exactly 50-50. You're going to give more time to your children and your writing is going to drop down for a while. Then you might have times where you can do a little bit more with the writing and maybe if you have a partner or someone who can take over, you know, some of the childcare aspects of it, that allows you to do that. I don't think it's ever 50-50. It's a give and take, and it might balance over a year or a few years. The other big thing I would say is it's really important to not deprive yourself and just shove it away and not do it at all, to completely ignore it. That doesn't necessarily make you a better parent. What it makes you is frustrated and it can come out, as Rachel's dad likes to say, sideways. It can come out in different ways. So I think I think we all need to cut ourselves some slack, in how we approach it and find time to carve out the time to do it, but not beat ourselves up if it isn't that way every single day or every single week.
Yeah, you mentioned beating ourselves up and guilt and the tendency to shove things down. Do you all feel like that's a particularly that's a quality specific to women and mothers to do those things? Is that something that you've experienced fathers doing, whether it's your spouse or friends?
I would say, in conversation with mothers versus fathers, or at least those who were raised as, you know, identifying as women, I think it's a natural thing as women in particular, not just even in the parenting roles. I think as we're raised and socialized to kind of take the burdens of the world on our shoulders, generally speaking. And then I think that transfers over to parenthood. And, you know, I was having a conversation with Karen Hooper, who's one of our facilitators. And, you know, we were talking about it in the context of even women who are not mothers, and by choice or whatever, there's still this kind of societal judgment and weight around motherhood that is kind of on those women as well. I personally do think it is around socialization and how we're brought up to be serving of the world and then therefore our kids too. I don't think, you know, I'd say there might be, you know, some fathers or men who feel differently, but I know in my relationship, we have very different, experiences with that emotional load and the emotional labor that is taken in the house and with our child. And sometimes when I talk about the guilt that I feel, he's kind of like, well, why? You know, I don't know why, it's just there. And, you know, and so it's, I think that in my experience that is the case.
And it's that emotional, it's a burden, but at the same time, right? It's a blessing. Like, we feel a closeness with our children that our husbands, our partners, our, you know, that other, that fathers just don't necessarily feel. I mean, my son is, he's almost nine. He's turning nine next week. And he's now tall enough that when he stands next to me, he's the same height as when I used to carry him in a little baby carrier. So when he gives me a hug, I'm like sniffing his hair, you know, and I'm like, oh, Matt, don't, and he, my husband has no idea why this is a, you know, a big important deal. I'm like, he still smells like a baby.
No, I think you've all brought up really great points. I'm wondering then if we could pivot to the importance of carving out that time and how we deal with the guilt. And so we've acknowledged some of the challenges inherent in being writer mothers. What are some of the strategies you've all found to acknowledge those challenges and then to get your work done anyway? Right. So the challenges aren't going away. So how do we carve out time? How do we hold ourselves accountable for devoting the time and the effort to our craft?
Well, I can start again.
Yeah.
Women that I know that are mothers, they try to either get up early. I have some friends who get up as early as 4 o'clock in the morning to make the time to write. It's important to me, and I was an older mom, and I have older kids, so I at some point learned that if I was happy, they would be happy. If I fed my spirit, it meant that I could feed theirs. Mm-hmm. So it was important to make time to write. Very difficult, and it's not always the way I want. Sometimes I get up early and there's nothing to write, but I'm still there. And sometimes I feel like my kids just add the way I feel about each of them very, very strongly. That warrior mom, I'm right there with you. They add to your work, you know, how you feel about them, some of the changes they take you through, especially the older ones. They feed your work. So I'm not even sure I answered that question.
No, you definitely did, Carla.
Time to do it. You show up in the morning. I light my candle. I have my cup of tea, and I sit there, and I make it work. It's not ideal. Some days I'm dead tired. Some days it just doesn't show up for me. But I also like to change the concept of what is writing. You know, writing can also – it can be the physical act of writing. But to me, let's talk about writing also means paying attention, observing the world in a different way, you know, listening to people with a different ear, you know, taking time to really absorb and observe what's around you. That's writing to me. And that's not necessarily something that you have to pinpoint or structure, you know, this hour of the day. It could be all day. And when you listen to children, the way everything is new to them,
yeah,
they're like walking scribes, the way they describe it. I mean, they just are, but we have to listen and pay attention and be in that moment.
Yeah, I just speaking on that, Carla, I feel like my sense of observation, like I feel like I've become a better writer in some ways since I having a kid because I'm, or at least at the points that I'm paying attention to what he's observing from the world, because as adults, we kind of take some of the things that are going on in the world for granted. But, you know, when we travel with my kid, he notices things that I would have walked right past. And I think that that's just a huge example of how they are sources of inspiration. But like, if we see the world through their eyes, they mm-hmm. are also like, you know, there are viewpoint inspiration mm-hmm. too.
Absolutely.
I've become so much more efficient since I had children too. You know, I can't just sit and, you know, daydream and write. And so I have a notes, you know, my ongoing notes app on my phone where I just, you know, quick type, you know, when something comes to mind, my whole process has changed. You know, I spent so much more time in those early just imagining, thinking, and I can finding myself outlining entire essays in my head because I just am with small children and I don't have time to sit and write. I also remember at that same AWP conference where we all met each other for the first time, Carla, you talked about how you tried to have an office in your home away from your children, and you found yourself and you spent time and money to make that office just gorgeous, and you were just back at the table because that was where the inspiration and the energy was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
And Toni Morrison used to say, around my feet. It's working. Yep. It should be around her feet. So, yeah.
Yeah, another thing that at least as far as like practical and logistical, setting aside the time, I mean, and this kind of comes to the community topic about what we're discussing, and that, like, I'm very externally motivated, and so having a group that has to hold me accountable, like deadlines or something, someone telling me that I need to get something done, is how I will force myself to make whatever, because the time is there, it's just looking for it. And so for me, that is part of the inspiration and what I was looking for, and why, you know, my reasons for, you know, doing this is that I wanted that community that can help provide that, like, inspiration, motivation, and also the accountability around it too. And that, I think, is, I mean, for me, that's hugely valuable because it just gives me this extra component to drive, make me do it.
Yeah, definitely. I want to come back to community in a second. But Katie, first, if you had an actionable strategic point you could share with everyone.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's the flexibility piece. So, you know, Carla said getting up early, and Rachel, like, thinks about it as the day goes on, and, you know, Elizabeth has external groups. It also changes, like, where you're at with a baby or a toddler is different than where you're at with elementary kids or high school kids. So I think that's the biggest thing to keep in mind, is it continues to evolve. And just when you think you've got it down, it changes again because they are in a new stage as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I want to remind listeners at this point that we are talking with the co-founders of Scribente Maternum, an organization in support of writer moms. And there will be a retreat in February. I'm going to put up the website here just about at the halfway point. So if you want more information, check out that link. And we are discussing building community for writer moms. So that's a good segue into community. Elizabeth, can you talk a little bit? You mentioned holding oneself accountable to deadlines and to getting work done. Can you talk a little bit more about what a community just sort of generally offers a writer, particularly a writer mom? And then we'll come back to Scribente Maternum.
Sure. I think, well, a community can offer a lot of different things, and I think everyone comes to it for different reasons. But I think that by having either a small or a large group of people, you have people who are like-minded, who have similar experiences. While that might diverge, we have that kind of that defining factor of being a writer mom as kind of that connecting point. It's the thing we have in common, and then beyond that, we can kind of learn from each other. And I think a community for me is a place to find inspiration, and I kind of said this before, inspiration, motivation, encouragement, accountability, but also I think that it's a challenging space too. I think that it's something that I really lean into, especially I have a background in social justice education and working in, like, anti-racism, where you lean into the really hard questions. You don't stay away from them. And I think that goes for really strong communities where you're asking hard questions, you're creating connections over challenging each other and challenging yourself, and diving into questions that are difficult. But also, like, I think that, you know, the practical piece is just having a center point that defining factor that connects everybody, that you can also, there's a sense of catharsis about being able to identify with each other and just talk about what you're dealing with and what the challenges are in a group that people are going to understand, and also just be like, we hear you, we feel you, you know, maybe everyone's at a different place, but we know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank you for saying that, Elizabeth, because I think part of it is, you know, you look at the title of our retreat and you know, we want people to understand that motherhood is messy. Mm-hmm. It's challenging. It's not perfect. It's quite everything but perfect. In fact, I was a perfectionist until I had children. And I realized they taught me, you will not be perfect in this, Mom. You will not have that perfectly clean house. You will not have, you know, this rigid schedule. No. And to me, to be able to let go of those walls that kind of separate us, you know, no, it's not going to be perfect. It won't be. But life isn't either, and neither is writing, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. That first draft is usually horrible. But, you know, we wanted a real space where mothers could actually be mothers and embrace that motherhood and the idea of rage in motherhood. Because there is that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you take up all this time when all I want to do is this one little thing. And all the things that come with being a mom, too, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yes, we needed a space for that. Mm-hmm.
The space to be monsters, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you all talk about, I just lost my train of thought, being a writer mother, that's also what happens. Can you all talk about where you discover communities? So Scribente Maternum obviously is one great place to go, ready-made, to find a writer mom community. Have you all found writing communities that have spoken to you, and where did you find them? So I can say I found a very small community, you know, in two mothers who I met at a conference, and they became my confidants and my motivators and my inspiration, and we can email one another and talk and do Zoom to keep each other going. Essentially. So that's a community on one scale, right? That's like a small friend group community. Scribente Maternum is a larger community without borders. So can you just talk a little bit about where, practically, for people who are looking for a community, they can go to Scribente Maternum. What else can they do?
Well, I'm a natural extrovert, and so I need to have other I get energy from other people, and so seeking community is like my way of life. And I'm also a serial Facebook group starter. Like all of these Facebook groups that are not necessarily writing communities, but mom communities. I think I'm part of, I don't know, a lot. And one of the mom's groups that I'm a part of, I started with a friend because we wanted people in our neighborhood to meet people in our neighborhood. And like within, like, I don't know, our kids were infants at this point, but like within like 6 months, we were up to like 150 people. And it was, you know, I think it was something that people were seeking. They wanted people nearby. I think, you know, Facebook, you know, has its flaws, but that was a really good way to do that. I also, as far as writing community, I got a master's in writing, and part of the reason I did that program is because I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know, I mean, I didn't know anybody who was a writer. And so like, that was my way to get into that community or to find community in that. And it did. And I don't think you necessarily have to do like a writing, like a full, master's program, but you can take writing classes and you can do, you know, find the spaces where writers meet or where who, you know, whatever group you're trying to, you want to find community in, you could meet them there.
Mm-hmm. See, at our City Lit events, we really are strong on finding your community. When we have an event, especially even in a virtual event, we realize that sometimes community happens after the event. We call it the writer's room, where we invite the featured artists to leave the room if they wanted to or stay. And we just talked. And it's almost like you don't have to know a person. You just need to know that they're trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. Fill that empty page. You know, make space to, you know, to write down what you're thinking or write down, you know, creating a world on a piece of paper and making sure that when I write this world and you read it, you're in that world. That to me, that's magical. You know, we hold large events and we hold small events, but each time we feel like we want people to tap into the idea that they're not walking that path alone. And they can, and eventually they do, if they come to enough community of City Lit events, they find that they do start to you know, get together or meet each other. And it's a wonderful thing to find a writer who really identifies with the way you write, or find a poet whose work that you really just want to support. And you become, you know, writer friends or literary friends from that. But there's all kind of ways to build community. It's not just one way. It could be an event. I know I personally had a group of writer friends. There were five of us. We would meet when we can. We all were mothers. Incredible group. And to this day, we don't meet often now, but I know that I can pick up the phone at any point in time and have a conversation with any one of those women writers. And that's treasure to me. That's a gem. Mm-hmm.
Carla, this might be a question for you, but then for all of you about Scribente Maternum. And when curating that community, of course, you want to open it up to those who are in need of that connection, right? But you also, I assume, want to maintain a certain tone and an openness and a non-judgmental quality to that community. So could you talk a little bit about how you do that? It's sort of an open-ended question, but I've been also, like Elizabeth, part of a number of Facebook groups for writers and for mothers and for writer moms. And some of the mother groups can turn quite nasty, right? Sort of judgmental. Women are our own worst enemies. So how do you avoid that when creating a group specifically for women, specifically for mothers who are writers?
I don't know if I could tolerate that, to be honest. Humble. You know, when you're a mother, you can experience a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your children say things to you that totally diminish you, and you walk in a different way. I don't think, you know, when I see, even if I see it's just a woman struggling with bags on the street, all I can think about is that's a mother trying to get her groceries home. So to me, a lot of this is tolerance and empathy and, you know, not necessarily walking in someone else's shoes, but, you know, feeling past your own world. You know, get out of your own space to understand what that looks like. I think having never belonged to a group where that kind of thing existed, I probably have to say a few things because I'm not told in that way. No, but I always think there's a way to tone that down, and there's a way to invite those people out of the room because it shouldn't change the intention of the group. If the intention is to hold each other up in a space where, you know, maybe elsewhere in the world you're not held up, then they need to go. So sometimes it's just like, I will not tolerate that. We won't tolerate it. And the thing about Scribente, we hope that our large group events are as powerful and wonderful as our smaller ones. Because, you know, people don't believe this, but I can be an introvert when it comes to my work. And I like to be a social animal, that many of us are, but there's an introvert side if you're a writer. The first, the side that turns inward, and I think there should be space for both of that. You don't always have to fill the space with words, just sometimes listening and taking in what you can.
Yeah. Katie and Rachel, or Elizabeth, were you starting to say something?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I thought I saw Katie sort of starting. Well, in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say part of what we are doing with Scribente also, you know, in addition to this initial retreat, on Mighty Networks, we have the community. So we've taken it off of someplace like Facebook and we've got it on Mighty Networks. But that's a place where, you know, people can go who are part of this group and bring up a question. Rachel's been really great about doing some writing prompts or thought, you know, thoughtful things, you know, to prompt us to have dialogue. And that's where I think it being a parent can be very, at times it can be isolating. Being a writer can be isolating. So knowing that there's a place that you can go, you know, as we've already said, where there's other people who are having maybe similar experiences and giving those that words of encouragement. Oh, yeah, you're not the only one. I feel that way too. Sometimes just knowing that somebody else is going through the same thing, it's huge to help you feel a part of that group, but also to help you not feel so alone in your home, in your individual world. So that's a really important piece of what we're doing with Scrivente is creating that community. And during the retreats, there will be small group breakouts where we will intentionally put people together, and over the course of these 4 weeks, they will stay with their same cohort and hopefully develop through that time, develop a deeper bond that will take them and that they could take if they want and extend it out beyond the retreat and continue that.
Great. While we're talking about the retreat, can you tell us a little bit more just about it? Who are the speakers? excuse me. You said it was 4 weeks in February. So what are the exact dates? And again, I'll put the website up here for people to go and learn more. But tell us a little bit about the shape of what they could expect if they were to attend.
So it's the 4 Saturdays in February, beginning on February 6th. And we're trying to be very mindful of time zones and not waking our friends on the West Coast up at 5 a.m. So it goes from noon to 2:30 Eastern time, so a reasonable hour for those on the West Coast. And it's at 2.5 hours together every Saturday. Our first speaker on February 6th is Maria Broom, another Baltimore, I don't know if she's a Baltimore native, but she lives in Baltimore now. And she's a Fulbright scholar. She's an actress. She's a reporter. She's just the most wonderful, amazing person. And she does a lot with meditation, how to find stillness, how to find calm, things that moms, especially moms who write and whose brains are always, like we've said, always writing, always going, always thinking. She's just an absolute blessing to be able to experience time with Maria. Other authors, other writers, M.M. DeVoe, who is releasing her first, she's been featured in other volumes before, but has her first solo book coming out in February, and it's all about finding the balance, finding the time between parenting and writing. So that's just perfect. She also is the founder of Pen Parentis, which is an amazing organization that helps writer parents continue their craft and hold themselves accountable with their writing. And she's also training our small group facilitators. So when we do have those small group experiences each week, it won't just be, you know, thrown in a group and hope that it runs well. It'll be with, you know, with people who are, to your point about what happens if people get off track or if people aren't respectful. So real, you know, real training for those folks who are leading our small groups from the amazing Pen Parentis. Karen, who teaches at Johns Hopkins, also in Baltimore. Elizabeth and I also, we don't live in Baltimore now, but we also have lived in Baltimore for a while too. So there's
big Baltimore.
All sorts of, there's East Coast, Midwest, Portland, AWP, Baltimore. I mean, it's this delightful, like, spaghetti small world that we have going on. So I'll let Elizabeth speak a little bit more about Karen, but is rounding out our retreat with some, I think, real, like, action steps that we can take going forward.
Yeah. Karen Hooper is actually a personal mentor of mine, and she is the associate director of the Johns Hopkins Masters in Writing program. And so she's just an amazing educator, writer. She has several books nonfiction books, and she's an amazing journalist. And so she actually was the executive editor or the editor in chief of Baltimore City paper before it went away, like many of our independent weeklies. And so I wrote for her at Baltimore City paper for a while. And, she's just amazing and very connected to this topic too. And that's, I think the defining factor between everybody that's coming to this is that we're all very connected to this topic and it resonates.
Yeah. No, it sounds like such an amazing event. I'm looking forward to attending. I hope that our listeners today will attend with me. If you could suggest one takeaway that someone might take away from the retreat, what would you hope it would be? If you were attending, what would you want to get out of that experience? And what do you expect someone will take away from it?
Just one.
Yeah, right, just one. I think one I can think of is this idea of space, of headspace, of physical space, giving yourself the gift of space and leaving the retreat not just with those 2.5 hours of space, but with the desire and the recognition that you deserve to find space throughout the week and when the retreat is over going forward.
I think also, I think folks can come away with a writing goal too. We do have this very, you know, we have this focus towards the end about these actionable items, which would a big part of it is creating the space, but also having a clear goal on what you want as far as your writing goes, next steps, which means something different for everybody. And so we're not going to define that for attendees, but you know, it could be just from having a regular journaling practice to working on a manuscript that you've had sitting on your desktop for a while, you know. So I think that very practical thing is appeals a lot to writers who want to just take the next step on whatever they're working on or what they want to work on.
And I would add to that, I think one of the things people will take away is the value of time and the value of having some kindness towards yourself in allowing or setting up that as best that you can. I want to just be clear too, this retreat is more about taking care of the whole person and like, you know, as we've been saying with some of the various people, this is not specifically like how to be a better writer, like a writing
writing workshop.
It's like a workshop. Yeah, it's more about taking care of you as a mom, taking care of you as a writer, helping you find community, helping you experience for 4 weeks the value and importance of having that space and time.
And my thought is too, one, make sure that we define motherhood in all its aspects. You know, it could be foster mother. It could be, you know, adopted mother. Any way that you describe motherhood, we're not putting those labels on you. You define them the way you see fit. But embracing that motherhood as it is. And to me, part of this is being a little selfish. Like, it's okay to take that time. Yeah, 2.5 hours every Saturday. Sorry. Space I'm claiming. And we're just talking about 4 Saturdays. Out of 1 month. And the hope is, the intention is set that those 2.5 hours that you spend each of those weekends means that you'll make and find the time after March, after February, to do it over and over again as you see fit. So you will build that space to be the writer, because I think of mothers always as creative beings. One, mm-hmm. created a miracle. Two, you're growing a miracle. And you have so much to offer. And it's so important to hear your story. And that more than anything, when I think about Black mothers writing, I remember fighting. I remember I was on a goose hunt trying to find stories that had characters that looked like my children. That was a huge thing. So to me, I'm supporting every writer of color, every Black mother, every mother, period. If you can tell that story, we need to hear them. We need to see them. Because your children need to read them and need to see them. So I'm for that. And for people or women being just a little bit selfish and just making sure that they make that time to do that work too, because it's just as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you say we're doing this, of course, for ourselves. We're being selfish in a good way, mm-hmm. but also for our children, mm-hmm. right? I think, Carla, that's a great point, that we want our children to see us as a whole person, a whole woman beyond just their mom, that we are seen as creative people, and we're setting that example for our kids.
That My son was older when he read my first, you know, he read a segment of my work. It was like a year and a half ago. He actually was stunned. He had this idea of who I was, but he didn't know the writer me. Uh-huh. And I'll never forget, he read my stuff. He walked into the room and said, "Mom, this is you." And it's like that, yes.
Yeah. My last guest, Melanie Conroy Goldman, said something that I've been thinking about, which is that it's kind of a gift to give your child access to a part of you that they wouldn't have experienced growing up with you as their mother, right? That our book is sort of our work is a window into a part of ourselves that
it is.
Yeah. So if we need to think of it that way in order to set aside 2.5 hours, then maybe that's okay, right?
Yeah, well, we're better parents in, like, right now, too, when we set aside time for ourselves. You know, this metaphor of securing your own oxygen mask before you try to help somebody else, right? You can't help anybody if you are exhausted, if you're depleted, if you're not fulfilled, if you're resentful because these tiny humans are taking everything you have. You know, we're better mothers right now when we step away and do what we need to do to make ourselves feel whole.
Yeah, that's actually where, I mean, that's kind of where the theme of this retreat came from, is that cultivating your creativity in community. And we kind of took this arch of having the first week be about self-care and really, like, you know, telling ourselves we need this. The next week, you know, being about, the first week's about kind of sitting in this moment in grief, because we have to acknowledge COVID and what is going on, and what grief means in that sense. And then the next week is about self-care. And then week three is about collective care. So what does that mean? So, like, when we restore ourselves, what can we be for our families and for our world? And being, you know, we all have, you know, we're all not just serving ourselves or our children or our families, but we're here to be a part of the world, you know, to make this world a better place, and what that means in your sphere of influence. And then the last thing is really making those actionable. And so that's a really big part of what we're leaning into, is that self-care is about, you know, being present in the world and in a way that fulfills us and the people around us.
Yeah. And I think going back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, this is exactly the right time to have that reminder, right? Because I know I, for one, and I'm sure all of you and our listeners feel completely depleted at this point with not just writer motherhood, but the pandemic. And as Carla said, just those figures of how many mothers specifically have been impacted by this time we find ourselves in. So I definitely need a retreat. I need to take that, as you said, a big step away from all of the responsibilities of my life and reflect back on myself for a little bit every weekend in February and see what comes of it. So I'm going to put the website back up here. And I think we've come to the end of the hour, but I want to invite you all, if you have any final parting words, or listeners, if you have any final questions, please feel free to put them in the chat. But I'm going to open the floor back up for any final thoughts.
Show up.
Every sense of the word, right?
I would say you're not alone. Wherever you are out there, wherever you are on your journey, you're not alone. There are other people going through the same thing, so reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great place to start. Sorry, yeah. Carla, go ahead.
No, I'd like to say too, there's really two pandemics going on here. One is the racial pandemic. One is the virus pandemic. And I think, you know, this is a safe space to talk about that too. Mm-hmm. So, I know as a Black mother, it's been a hard couple of years. And I don't think, I think there's room for that discussion too. Mm-hmm. In a safe space.
Thank you for saying that. Yes. And as you said earlier, too, for mothers and all the iterations of what that word can mean. So it's a welcoming, open space that I think we all are in desperate need of right now. I know I am. So I'll be there. And I encourage everyone else to join. You can find more information at the website below. And I just want to thank you all again so much for joining me tonight. This has been such a great conversation, and the work you're doing is so important. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Stick around for a second after we end the broadcast. But first, we'll just switch over to Writer Mother Monster. And thank you again for joining us, and thank all of you for tuning in. If you've been inspired by what you've heard tonight, please consider joining us at the Scribente Maternum Retreat next month. You can register and learn more at scribentematernum.com. And you can watch this video again, listen to Writer Mother Monster as a podcast, or read the interview transcript all on writermothermonster.com. All right. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please also consider becoming a patron or patroness on Patreon. Thank you again, and have a great night. See you on Thursday for the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.